I want all of us to be able to grab a hold of what is rhema, the word that's being spoken by the Lord for now, for us right now, meet us where we are in terms of what God wants to speak. And that's a rhema word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that this be rhema to us. And Lord, I also pray that we would have a hunger inside of us for the Word of God, for truth, for the reality of who you are in our lives. And Lord, I ask beyond all of the humanness, the thoughts, the emotions, things that come that could be distracting, Lord God, that your Spirit would touch people's hearts, reach in soul and spirit to the very heart of us, that the intent of the Spirit today would penetrate, would meet the mark inside of all of us. And so we grab a hold of that today, Lord God. We want that to be. And Lord, by your will, Lord, let that happen today as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of things going on in my mind, so I'm hoping that I can keep it all straight and by the Spirit of God organized the way I feel this needs to be brought. There's something about us as children of God. We're human beings. There's a practical side to our walk with God, and there's a mystical side to our walk with God. How many of you believe that? Anything that deals with supernatural outside of the natural ways that deal with spirit realm, and God is spirit, there's a mystical side to life. And there can be excesses in that, and there can be excesses in only looking at practical things, and there's a real balance, God's balance, not our own, but God's balance in weaving together the practical walking with God and the mystical aspect of what it means to walk with God. And I want to look at something here today out of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians mostly, but we'll get to some other scriptures as well. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I felt really to preface the message with something that's also found in this chapter. This is not the text scripture for what the message is, but I want to have a little prelude, I guess, to the actual focus of the message. And this is in verse 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, and it says this: grace, and I pray this for ourselves, for all of us right here, grace be, I'm going to read it that way, grace be unto us and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are mixing that with faith right now? That when you hear these prayers, when you read these prayers, you hear a prayer. Really, it needs to be mixed with faith, doesn't it?
Yes.
You have to grab a hold. Whatever God wants to speak right now, whatever God is in, the intent of His Spirit is, we want to make sure that we take a hold of it. So we grab a hold of this. Grace be to us, God. God, give us that unmerited favor. Give us, Lord, the ability to not only hear your word, but to be doers of your word. Amen? Isn't that what we want? Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. That in everything that you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you do not come behind in any gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this grace, that word get, I find in what's going on in church, the church today, the church at large, is there seems to be moving in man's ideas, moving in the search for emotional high, and I'll talk a little bit more in detail. There's nothing wrong with any of this, but the focus needs not to be in that focus. The scripture says that God gives grace in James. God gives grace to who? The humble. God gives grace to the humble. And as we are humble people, realizing that we can't do anything for God in ourselves, we need to be at His disposal. The good things that we do are because of Him.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And it's important for us to understand that. So that when God wants to, He can move through us. A lot of us say, well, poor little me, you know, I don't have much to give to the body of Christ. And yet every single one of us that have been born again have the Spirit of God in you. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the hope of the spreading, the glowing of the light of Christ to come out of the way that we live and act and think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all of us can move that way. And God gives us the ability because we have His Spirit within us if we're born again. And so we need to be people that are going to be willing to allow God to move through us in all different kinds of ways. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So now I want to go to where I want to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And it's starting in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now lots of places are looking for grand displays. But you know what? Preaching is the power of God. We look for all kinds of things. We're going to read about it here in just a minute, where lots of people, even in a Christian place, look for signs, look for some kind of manifestations. And yet we have the Word of God, and especially when it's preached under an anointing, that can grab a hold of us, change us, empower us, and allow us to touch the hem of His garment.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
This is a fantastic thing to think about. Let me get back to here. And it's the preaching of the cross of Christ. We've told you before, we've been in one particular church decades ago, that had to come up with these brand new invented doctrines, greater insight into the Word of God. They had to make it so that it really was appealing to people, and it was really more appealing to flesh than it was to spirit. And you know, it was hard to delineate for a while, but we finally saw what was going on there, and we saw that isn't. You know, people say, "Well, church was boring." You know what? How many of you really got met with worship today?
Mm.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
You know when that happens? I'll tell you when that happens, because it only happens when you really are hungry. When I'm hungry, when I really want to, when I want to touch God, when I really want to know Him.
Yes.
It's not even going to matter what the song is. I open up my heart to the words of that song. I open up my heart to God, and God, if I draw near to God, what's He going to do? He's going to draw near to me. And when I don't get that sense, that's not the need for louder music or a different style of music. And churches do that. They change things because we have to appeal. Now, let's give songs, let's give messages that get right to the heart of things, that has meat to it, not little baby milk, but meat that gets right to where a person and people are in a church service, and let's grow. Let's be alive. Yeah. To the Spirit of God, right? And that's what the preaching of the cross does. When you think about the cross, you know, it isn't preaching all kinds of added doctrine, and he's talking about preaching the cross. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit more detail toward the end of the message. All right, so verse 19. But let me just point out. The preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Amen.
That's what it says. Right? Healings are a manifestation of the power of God, but this says that preaching is also the power of God. Isn't that right? There's power there. There's power to transform our lives if we're hungry and we grab hold of what the Spirit wants to do. Right? It's not the person. It's the Spirit of God moving in our hearts, through our minds, and doing His work. That's what we want in this church, isn't it?
Yes.
And he goes on, First Corinthians, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? This is all talking about the wisdom of the world. There's a wisdom of God that we want to have. But they're talking here about the wisdom of the world. Total intellect. Always looking to try to, the debaters of the world, how somebody can trap somebody with their words. And it's not really looking for truth, it's looking to win a debate.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's what, we don't want to fall into that ourselves. We're looking for truth. Isn't that right?
Yes.
The cross of Christ is what we're looking for. What he did, the blood of Jesus, and what that means. Now, I think you all know that Paul didn't only talk about Jesus hanging on the cross and dying for our sins. There's plenty of evidence in here. He talked about a whole bunch more. So that it's not relegating to just talking about Jesus' death on the cross when he talks about preaching the cross of Christ, because there's more to that than just that event. And I'll be talking about that. All right, so in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom didn't know God. People got all caught up in their own little smarty pants ways of thinking and debating, and they think they're real smart, but they're fighting against truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Fighting against the King of Kings. And it says here, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Most of us come to Christ through preaching, through either reading the word yourself or hearing a message and being convicted in our hearts and saying, I want to give myself to God because God loved me enough that he did all of what I read about here. Right? And then it says this in verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, there, people can require a sign from God before they'll believe something. Don't we do that sometimes ourselves?
Yes.
You know, show me this God, show me that God. Now, if that's what we're always doing, I think it's okay once in a while. I do. But you know, it's like the fleece thing. But we can't live on signs. We can't live by saying, well, I have to see something from you before I'm going to believe it, God. We all come together here. Do we have to have something? You know, does this roof have to split open and have some glory cloud come down and cloven tongues of fire for us to know that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, that His Spirit lives within us, that He empowers this church to do His work? Do we need that?
Once in a while, maybe.
It would be cool. Yeah. See, and this is the very thing I want to say. You know, people who require that, who demand that, who come to a service and that's what they want, and they demand that of God, and if they don't get it, well, God wasn't here. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm not saying that these things aren't wonderful when they do happen. It's like when you're worshiping God. You're worshiping in spirit and in truth. You're supposed to worship Him by in faith, right? Well, faith is not feelings, is it? But it's wonderful when God adds the feelings. It's wonderful when God does attend things with signs, and the Scripture says that He does that. But we don't sit there and we require it or demand it in our own minds and hearts as a congregation or as an individual to say, well, it's got to be this way or God, I guess God isn't here. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Right? And so this is very, very important. And I say these things because, you know, we've been talking about the different influences that are outside the church that are coming inside the church. And we've really got to be careful of that. And that we don't slowly get pulled into something ourselves. That we're careful that our walk with God and how things are done here and how you think about the Word and everything else is according to the Word of Truth. And not according to the feelings, not according to our own predeterminations, where we require a certain thing before we're gonna believe or before we're gonna act. Right? Everybody understand what I'm saying? So this is just for us to let it stir around in our hearts and our brains, because there is a strong force in this world to grab a hold of the church and pull people out of it. The Scripture is really clear. There's a great falling away. It's falling, and they don't even have to leave a church building. They're falling away. Individuals fall away in their hearts. Elderships, pastorates, they can fall away in their hearts. And a pastor or a leadership team can lead a church in the wrong direction. And if you don't say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's that kind of preaching? You know, we're all accountable before the Spirit of God, before the Spirit of Christ. And so this is important. And when we have a misunderstanding about something, instead of grumbling and thinking, well, I'm not going to keep going to this place. I'm going to go find something. Go talk to people. Right?
Yes.
It's important to talk to people. Now, in case anybody's wondering why I'm saying this, it's not based on anything that's happened in this church. Okay? This is not based on any person or situation. I'm seeing what's happening in the church at large. I'm giving this as a warning, as a exhortation to be on top of things. Be on the top of your game spiritually. Right? And then for the Greeks, it's wisdom. You know, it's all about the intellectual thing. It's the, like I wrote it here in my Bible, mind love. You know, love the things of the mind. And believe me, you know, I do a lot of thinking and pondering. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having that mixed with the Spirit of God in our life, that when you're pondering, well, let's say you're looking for a new job, or you're thinking maybe you're going to look for a new job, you know, that Jesus is brought into the conversation. You know, it isn't all just well, there's this, and this, and if I move, then, you know, how am I going to... you know, all of that has to be done, but boy, don't you want the wisdom of God to come in? And if you don't ask, you're not going to get. Right? And it's easy for all of us, any of us, to click into things and not bring Jesus into the conversation. Right? We need that transforming of our minds. We have to learn how to think by getting God involved in every part of our life. It isn't just Sunday, is it?
No.
This is just one little piece of it. Walking with God happens 6 times more than it does right here, or even longer than that. But then he says, and then he reaffirms in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Yeah. Oh, it's not sophisticated enough for the Greeks. They need all kinds of intricate little things going on. They can't see the simplicity of the gospel. They can't see that there's a simplicity in our devotion to Christ. And in all of this, Jesus is at the center. When church programs become more the center focus than Jesus himself, we've started to go off the wrong, you know, somewhere else. And churches can get really caught up. Now, am I saying, again, we're going to have to make sure that you see this in the right balance. Do we not have things that we do where we're acting and getting involved in doing things? Yes, we're going to be doing those things. But the focus isn't going to be on that. The focus is going to be on the love of God. It's going to be on Jesus himself. It's going to be serving Christ. Right? And we see it that way. We're not while we're doing something for a child over in Africa someplace, we're not patting ourselves on the back saying, look how good I am.
Right.
No, we're serving because Jesus is our King. And he gives us that compassion for these other people, and it's not because we're doing some religious thing or some Christian thing. We're doing what God wants us to do, and that doesn't put any pat on anybody's back, is it? It's our reasonable service of worship. That's what God expects.
Yeah.
Period. That keeps us humble, doesn't it? And it also makes us to realize this. If it has nothing to do with me as an individual, nothing to do with you as an individual, and you allow God to just move on you, you ask him, you know, give me a heart today, give me a hunger today for what you want me to be doing, and you're asking that throughout the day, different part times of the day, and you know, then as God moves on your heart to do something, you do it. You do it. Right?
Yeah.
No prescribed program. You're going to do it. This is where we need to go as a church. Not into programs, but into service. Ministry. Yeah? Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard because church things can get, you can get too much involved in programs. I was saying to somebody, I forgot who it was now, but there was a thing about, formulas. We all would love to have formulas. Oh, if I do this, 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 and this, or I can read different things here in the Word. Now, if I just do this, and this, and this, and this, then everything's going to go exactly the way I want it to go. I'll be a really great, wonderful Christian. But you know what? I mentioned this to somebody years and years ago. This preacher said, you know, formulas are for babies. Formulas are for babies. We don't need, you know, we have, this is our guideline, and it's all right here. And God then speaks out of this word, out of this written word, the rhema that comes out so that we're listening to Him, what He's saying for us to do at the time, and we respond and be obedient. We're not thinking about, can I check this off my list today? Right? That's more religion. Christianity is relationship. It's listening to God. It's really having a relationship instead of just talking about it. And lots of us can talk a good game. We can say how much we pray, and we can say how much we do things, and all of this. But what's really going on inside our hearts? Is it a formula? Is it some kind of ritualistic thing that has lost the hunger and the meat of what God wants to do inside of us and through us? And that takes some honesty on our parts.
Alka.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do a lot of nice things and good things.
Yeah.
They do it in a begrudging way. In their heart, they don't want to be doing it.
Right.
And so that doesn't have the same effect as,
no.
You know, especially in God's eyes, it doesn't have the same effect. And I think, too, that when you're in that situation and you're doing all these nice things and you don't really want to be doing it, is there's a pass-off, you know, there's a ripple effect that ends up happening. That ends up carrying over to the next person that you're doing that with. So, because people aren't stupid.
No.
They pick up on this stuff, you know.
They
can tell when you're doing something just because you feel like you have to do it, or if you're doing it because you really have a passion to do it, because you want to be pleasing to people and you want to help people or whatever the situation is.
The spirit. We've talked about this a lot. You know, the spirit that you have. It's a part of our being, our spirit, body, soul, spirit. Right? There's an aspect of that. Of that word that means attitude. What is our heart attitude?
Right.
See? What kind of spirit do we move in? And that's what really carries over into other people's lives. It isn't just the words that we speak kind of a mechanical kind of way or a begrudging way. The spirit behind it does make its impact.
Yeah.
And that's what's important, isn't it, Glenn? You want to say
something? Yeah, years ago, our new Christians, a friend of mine came over to our house and he's all excited because someone had given him a piece of paper with about 100 different things that you should do every day.
There you go.
And can I see that? Wow, this is a lot of work in this. And I just ripped it up in little pieces and threw it on the floor.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? I said, just follow God.
Yeah. Yeah, it really comes down to the simplicity of our devotion to Christ. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that's in here. And you can get overwhelmed if you're trying to do everything all at once and you have all of this you got to do for God all during the day. No. Pray, ask, seek, knock. Let the Lord speak to you, and then be obedient, and just be obedient. It's simple.
Yeah.
Walking with God is simple, and it's fulfilling. We were singing that one song, and I thought, oh man, that's what I want. I want some more hunger in me. And I didn't walk in here with that. But boy, I got touched by God singing those words. And I went, that's what it is. That's what I need right now. And so, God, give me that. You know, I'm going to come up and I'm going to preach. And, oh, man. Yeah. And, you know, I get out of the way and I let Jesus move. That's what I have to do. That's what you and I have to do in life. Get out of the way. Allow the Spirit of God to move us and guide us and direct us in our life. Bring us to the people we need to talk to. Inspire us with the words that need to be said to the people that we get around. This is real stuff. This isn't some, you know, program thing that we've got to do. Praise God for that, huh?
All right, I'm just going to go down through some things here. Would you go to... I think I'm just going to run down through this. Do you mind? We're going to just go hit bum, 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 bum on some scripture.
Huh? A list. Are you checking
your list? No. This isn't for anything that you've got to do.
Oh, good.
But you know how, you know, you need things, right? You know, my wife always has something smart to say. All right, Galatians chapter 2. You know, when you get into the Word you hit a theme in the Word, it's really neat to see what other angles of what is meant by some things. And this is what I'm looking at here. You know, we're talking about preaching the cross of Christ. And here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this: I am crucified with Christ. Do you know that? You were crucified, and we were crucified with Christ. God, we died there on the cross with Him in that mystical sense. You understand that? It was His work, not ours. But you understand what I'm saying? I am crucified with Christ. Now, I'm going to explain that out a little bit more. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Wow. The Spirit of Christ lives in me. And I know you know all this. But isn't it good to be refreshed and reminded of this kind of thing? Kevin?
I think it's funny. You said Galatians 2:20.
Yeah.
And up there is Colossians 2:20.
Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
No,
that's
no,
right.
No. This is good. Because it's basically saying...
Oh, that's good. That is good.
Yeah.
Good job. See, now that's the Spirit of God moving too. Right? It is. Oh, got it. All right. Okay, I'm going to jump back to Romans 6:6. Here's something about preaching the cross of Christ. It says this in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. That old nature, right? This is what it's talking about. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. A big part of the message of the cross, of Jesus' death
substitutionary death for us so that we could be born again unto God is that we died because of that when we accept his work. Is that right? And because of that, something has happened in a mystical sense. In the realm of the Spirit, God has crucified us with Christ, and now we're somebody new. The body of sin, the power, the overwhelming control that sin had over us is now been destroyed. We can still get touched by it. We still fall into that because we still have that nature that we have to deal with. But the body of it, that overwhelming power has been broken, and that's a good thing. And so we're without excuse, aren't we? Yeah. Okay. So this is all part of this message of the cross. You know, I hope nobody's offended when I say this, because the cross for baby Christians, new Christians, and even for us, we have to go back and look at and be reminded of his great work that he did on the cross, and it brings us salvation. But it also has another level of message that is that says to us, we've been crucified with him. We the power that sin has over us has now been broken, so that we don't have to follow in sin. We can get out beyond that. We can get up above that. That's part of the message of the cross. For those who have the ears to hear that. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you know me, I'm not taking anything away from Jesus, because Jesus is the center, the foundation. It all depends on him. It's his spirit within us that does the work as we open up to it. But there is something more to the message of the cross than just the event of Jesus on the cross. It's all of what happened because of that. And if you read through the scriptures, you see that that's true. It says it here. I'm reading these different scriptures that talk about being crucified and what's going on with that. I'm not going to go to it. Matthew 16:24 says that we're supposed to pick up our own cross.
That's right.
Yeah. There's things that we're going to have to carry in life.
Amen.
That are not very pleasant. You know, lots of times you can go to churches and say, well, Jesus doesn't want this or that in your life. Everything's supposed to be hunky-dory, rosy, tulips and everything. And there's nothing that you're going to just have to carry. No, there is. There's a cross that we have to bear. You know? For a time, at least.
Something, I just had a vision of tulips when you said that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows, like, once you cut tulips and put them in water, obviously after a while they start to droop.
Yeah.
One of the tricks I learned along the way is if you took a penny, an older penny that still had copper in it, and you put it in the water, their stems strengthen again. And I think of that like Jesus, like we'll start to droop, we'll start to be weary, but he is our strength.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'll have to go to there. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you do not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth as crucified among you? Now, that's an odd sentence. Something is going on with the Galatians. They came to Christ through faith, through dependence, through obedience to the Spirit of God and to Jesus, right? Well, who's telling, who's bewitching you? Who's bringing you down the wrong path? This I would like to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you now are made perfect by the flesh? Churches can do this. Individuals can do this. I'm going to prove to God that I'm His, and you're going to be in the flesh. Gotcha. Whatever is not faith is sin.
Okay, let me finish up here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do I want you to go there? Yeah, I want to make a point here. 1 Thessalonians 5.
Here's something this needs to be said. And the very God of peace, that is verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a triune being, aren't we? I want to say that there is something about walking with the Lord, this message that we have, that Christ is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't really take that too lightly. And you know what that means? We should take care of our bodies, our physical bodies, like we should take care of our spirits and our souls. Paul is asking God to preserve them, body, soul, and spirit. That is not a magic wand from God. Do you understand that? It's starting to get to me now. It's finally starting to sink in a little bit. We have the fellowship of believers, the Word of God itself, which is right at the center. Our worship, the worship that we have, is all very integral for us to grow in a spiritual sense. Isn't that right? But we also need to have a body that's healthy enough so that we can get together. I missed last week because I was cold. People get colds, and I'm not saying that we'll never have colds. But you know what? I should make sure that I'm taking care of my body so that that doesn't happen too often. Because I missed out last week. That's what happens. You know, when you're under the weather or you're overtired, do you get out the Bible and you might attempt to? And then the next thing you know, your head's in your Bible, and you're waking up, right?
Exactly.
You know, our bodies, as well as our soul and spirit, we're connected together, all three of us. We're triune. So it's important that we take care of our bodies, what we allow ourselves to eat, and how much. Now, lots of people don't want to hear that. Well, nobody's going to tell me what I can eat. Well, that's fine. I'm not telling you what you can and can't eat. I'm telling you, you have a responsibility. You figure that out yourself. And you can just say, oh, I don't care. Or I'm too far gone. I'm having my half a dozen donuts today, and that's all there is to it. Go ahead.
Amen.
Yeah, and never mind. But isn't this true? Now, see, we don't like to. We come together and all we just love one another and we love the Word of God and I want to do whatever God says. And then you talk about food and all of a sudden, boy, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear about, hey, maybe I'm not treating my body, that temple of the Spirit, the way I need to. nobody's going to tell me. You know, I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that, and that's all there is, and that's all there is to it. When God is doing something else, and He wants us to have our bodies, soul, and spirit be preserved unto the coming of Christ. What does that mean? Body to be preserved blameless. I know what it means, soul and spirit to be blameless, you know, by my actions and thoughts and all of that. But body to be blameless, well, that's talking to me about having a body that's being treated the right way, not overworking, finding rest, right? Getting time just to relax. And lots of people go in that, you know, that way too. This is, don't you think it's important? I think we need Steve Emmon to give us some exercise lessons and right? Go ahead.
Reminds me of Smith Wigglesworth. A man came up for prayer for healing because he was sick. And he led the Lord to punch him in the stomach. And then said, God has a word for you. Stop being such a pig. He was healed.
Yeah. But you know what? If we would see somebody do that in our church, where's the love? Where's the love of Jesus there? Because we have our own prescribed ideas. Isn't that true, though? We have our ideas. Oh, we can't cross that line. Now, there are lines we can't cross. But there's a lot of lines that we you know, put around that don't need to be there too, right? So I thought I would end this with the whole thing about food. So there you are. You hold that before the Lord, because that is important. If we're crucified with Christ and Christ now lives within us, it's not I who live, but Christ that lives in me, to do the work. I have a responsibility to take care of this temple. It's not a casual thing. You do the best that you can. Some people, you know, but you do the best that you can. Don't.
Sure. Together with a personal thing?
Yes, you can.
Not about the exercise, but sort of. You started with the importance of the spirit and wisdom of this world versus biblical wisdom, and it sort of went all the way around and came back to body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
So my thing, if you don't know me, is I'm a geek. And I really like I teach about electricity and heat and electromagnetic waves and whatever, and all of those are foundationally particle physics things. It's how electrons move and atoms and whatever. So that's what I sort of like to read about. And it's funny because in the last week, I get sort of humor out of these things, that I've been reading two scientific journals came up in the same week, of worldly wisdom, and they're both, I don't know, probably atheists. They're just scientists writing about this, right? It has nothing to do with religion or anything. But something that came about back in the 30s is that people have realized that when you watch things happen at an atomic level, your observing them changes what happens. And everybody says that's kind of weird. And Einstein absolutely hated that and said, that just cannot be. That's not the way it is. But in the last 100 years, there's been thousands of experiments that show it in all different ways. When you watch what happens, our consciousness actually impacts what's happening. So it's funny because all of a sudden I'm starting to read these journals that basically are saying, hey, wow, we've been going through this materialist thing that's just saying, you know, we're a product of whatever chemicals happen to be in our brain and whatever atoms happen to do this and happen to do that. And all of a sudden they're starting to say, wait a second, you know what? There's probably something more than that out
there. There's something more.
Articles that are all saying, you know what? This consciousness thing, this soul or whatever, there's something up there, and it's kind of weird.
Yes.
So it's just neat for me to sort of watch it. From an outsider, I'm like, it took you that long to figure out?
It takes that long to figure out.
There's something more.
Yep.
Just the chemicals in your brain.
It's very true.
Put it down.
Very true.
That's so cool.
Well, Lord, we take what is the intent of your spirit today. Oh, God, help us to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. And, Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but doers of it. Lord, help us, guide us to approach this, understand this, and react to this word that you've given us today in the right manner and in a timely way. We thank you, God, today. We love you. We thank you that you died on the cross for our sins, that you love us and you care for us. You not only want us saved to be in heaven, but you want us to be saved to the uttermost, that our minds could be transformed and our thoughts and character, Lord, can be transformed into your likeness greater and greater. We love that. We love that thing, Lord. And Lord, we do pray that we would press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.